Whatever you might be going through and wherever you might be, this is Omar Serrano with the Tilted Lawyer Podcast. I'm here to take your mind off of things. Yes, I'm an attorney. No, I'm not giving you legal advice. We're going to sit and talk like people, as these are the candid thoughts of one practicing attorney, and it's after hours. So have a seat. Feel free to have a drink and join me. Let's get started.
I guess I'm going to end with some Blake Lively stuff. There's these subpoenas that are going around, and I've heard that there's not a lot new that's going on with the Baldoni case that we haven't already dove into. I'm just going to share with you guys this article. What do I think? Where do I think this is all headed? I think that there is a real problem with the evidence. With the allegations that Blake Lively has put forth in her amended complaints. Like, you read through it, you get through the entire complaint, and then you get through her entire amended complaint. And, you know, reading it as if everything were true and trying to give her the benefit of the doubt, and her trying to attach exhibits and pieces of evidence to the things that she's trying to prove, you look at it and it's like, okay, so what else? What else? And I guess like the big cliffhanger is there are going to be other complaints from other women. So which signals like, oh, that's it from Lively. It was literally just the dance scene and the fat shaming and, you know, whatever else. That was it. You know, public perception has led. It started off, I feel like, where people were sympathetic to Lively. Because obviously she got to hit first. And then Baldoni comes out with this 168-page timeline and just documents all of this evidence and puts everything in a proper context and has his own claims. And he asked for $400 million in retorts. And I don't know who was advising Blake Lively. And to be fair, maybe her attorneys just listen to her story and like, oh, okay, fine. Yeah, I'll file a lawsuit and we'll do our due diligence. And then in the course of doing their due diligence, that's the best that they could come up with. I got to imagine, because sometimes you take cases and you got to believe what your clients are saying is true. And so they'll come in here and they'll say that, oh, I was abused and there I was this and I was that and I'm the victim and I'm this, whatever. And then, all right, and you believe them and you let them write their declaration and you file that as a petition in court, and it becomes this, that's something that you got to prove. You never know how the evidence is going to come out, and then come to find out that there's a smoking gun evidence, like there is a video of the purported incident that shows that your client was actually the aggressor. That is a sobering moment, but it happens. And when that happens, what do? You probably settle. And so I think that this is a situation where they were expecting better evidence to back up Lively's claims, and it just hasn't come to pass. And I think that Baldoni has the upper hand. And, you know, we're messing around with these subpoenas. And this, I guess, was the new thing. And I'll read this article from Yahoo Entertainment. They talked about on Tuesday, Lively alleged an amended complaint. We talked about the amended complaint. They talked about Leslie Sloan fighting to be removed from Baldoni's lawsuit. I don't think that that's going to work. But the latest developments were, Lively's attorneys subpoenaing Baldoni's phone and internet records in an effort to expose the people, tactic, and methods. The problem with that is that they were overreaching in their request. You can't just get every single text message and phone call and phone from every phone record that exists for the past 3 years. It was a bit of an overreach. And so they're going to whittle that request down a little bit. Earlier this month, Lyman warned both sides, the judge, to stop litigating their case in the media, cautioning that he may move up the trial, which is currently set for March of 2026. That gives him about a year to conduct discovery. They launched a new website, denying claims both parties seek. Yeah. That's not what I was looking for. Oh, this is the one. I apologize. I brought up the wrong article. I'm sorry, folks. I was looking for the one about the subpoenas, and I think it was this one. Yeah. So Blake Lively requests additional protections. And Lauren Knighty, she covered this on her stream. I'm pretty sure Dave Neal also did. A bunch of other people. But I learned about this initially from Lauren Knighty's channel. I forgot what she calls her. She calls her channel now. What is her new, the court of public opinion or something like that? Is Lauren Knighty the court of public opinion? By the way, go check her channel out. We need to get her to 10,000 subscribers. She's like a 9.5. She's so close to 10,000. She's going to be so happy when she hits 10,000. If y'all haven't already done so, go visit Lauren Knighty. I think she's now calling her show the court of public opinion. The court of random opinion. The court of random opinion. That's what it was. Go check her out. She's working really hard to get her YouTube numbers up and new subscribers. And she's been covering this case. She's doing a really, really good job. Go check her out. The court of random opinion. I like that name even better. Anyway, with this article, they talk about the subpoenas. Blake Lively requests additional protections. After both sides agrees to a protective order, attorneys for the actress and her husband submits a letter to the judge, requesting a stronger protective order than the court's model one. Among their requests for the proposed PO, which they also filed in a separate document, are an attorney's eyes only category, which applies to confidential discovery material of such a highly confidential and personal sensitive or proprietary nature that the revelation of such is likely to cause a competitive business, commercial, financial, personal, or privacy injury. Lively and Reynolds' attorneys went on to claim that good cause exists for the court to adopt the proposed PO, citing the actress's recently filed amended complaint against Baldoni, stating, as detailed in Ms. Lively's amended complaint, Ms. Lively, her family, other members of the cast, various fact witnesses and individuals that have spoken out publicly in support of Ms. Lively have received violent, profane, sexist, and threatening communications. And Baldoni's team says, yeah, we have too. We do not condone dangerous, this is Baldoni's team, we do not condone dangerous rhetoric targeted towards anyone, no matter the situation, and said they too have faced threats during the legal dispute. They added, anyone receiving violent messages by anonymous parties is abhorrent. When private parties were wrongfully accused by Lively and her paid team of wrongdoing, they received continuous death threats and visits to private home where young children reside. Yeah, that's sick. Whoever, if you're the kind of person that will like send threatening letters or go to somebody's home, like look them up to go visit their home and like try to invade their private lives, you're just a sick individual. No one should have to face that, especially private parties who do not have the means for a security detail. Touche. So there's that. Whether or not there are going to be additional protections, I guess we'll see. They're working on it. They're trying to meet and confer to figure out what they're going to do in terms of what additional protections would mean. What does that mean for coverage? It just means that there is the potential that some of the subpoenas that are going to be conducted for depositions are not going to be publicized in an effort to protect potential witnesses. I think that the parties are probably fair game. Like if they ever subpoena Blake Lively, I think that's going to be fair to be published. Same with Baldoni, same with any of the other individual named parties. But if we're talking about some of these other complaints that were brought up to HR, specifically complaints made against Baldoni, if in fact they do exist, I don't think that we're going to learn of their identity until maybe never. Maybe never. But I think that those are reasonable protections to place for witnesses, prospective witnesses in this case, where I have heard it reasoned that this case might become bigger than Depp v. Heard. Why? I don't know. But maybe it might. And if that's the case, if you happen to be a witness, you're kind of signing up, or you're not signing up, but you're going to be subject to the eyes of the entire world bearing down and hanging on your every word. And that is a tough pill to swallow for some folks. Blake Lively, she's going to have to at some point be subpoenaed, and it's going to be public, I feel like. Ultimately, where does this land? I don't think for a second that this is going to make it to trial. I think that they're going to settle for some amount of money. I think Baldoni is going to want some amount of money. I think at some point, Lively's legal team is going to be like, look, the evidence is not going to do what you think it's going to do. And if this gets litigated, people are going to be pissed at you. And the punitive damage alone, they're asking for $400 million. They might get it. They might get that and some more. They may. If we try this and it goes wrong, and look, there's already instances of her changing her story. She started off with a complaint, and then she kind of softened some of the allegations and ditched some of the others altogether, which means that she's changed her story, which means that she's not in the credibility department. She's lacking, which means that if you're trying to pick somebody who to believe, who's telling the truth, it ain't going to be her. Baldoni has given his version of events, but backed it up with receipts, meaning he has ultimate credibility in this case, which was the genius of Brian Friedman's PR strategy. Look, I'm just going to drop all these receipts and let people see it for themselves. In conjunction with the claims that Justin Baldoni was making in Heath and all these other people. And what it did was it kind of exposed the ridiculousness of the claims of Blake Lively. And where we stand now is, absent other evidence, if that's really all there is, she's in a lot of trouble. And it would be in her best interest to settle, write Justin a check for some undisclosed amount and move on with life, because at some point she's going to want to work in Hollywood again. And the best thing that could happen for her is to settle this case before it ever makes it to trial. I don't know if they're going to settle it before depositions. I doubt it. I think if I was Baldoni, I think if I was representing Baldoni, I'd want to beat her up a little bit in a deposition, because it would cause the settlement figure to rise. You saw what just happened in that deposition room. Imagine if I get you on cross-exam in front of all those people in the jury. Imagine. You were asking for $400 now, but when, by the time we get to trial, after I litigate this entire thing, I'm going to ask that jury for $1 billion. Am I going to get it? Probably not. But you're going to threaten that. And you're going to say, look, this is not going to go well for you. I'm going to make you hurt. And you're going to need to feel that. And so at some point, I suspect after they depose who they need to depose on Lively's side, I think that they are going to be open to settlement talks. And you're going to hear Lively's team talk real tough about, oh, we have the receipts and we're going to depose him and we look for depositions and all these kinds of things. The reality of it is that on the evidence scorecard, Blake Lively's team is grossly behind in terms of credibility, which is all that matters in a case like this. And at the end of the day, I think that if they were to litigate this with the evidence that we know is out there, and I know it's not finished, I know that. But just looking at my evidence scorecard, I feel like Baldoni is coming out ahead. And if he wins and he's asking for $400 million, I feel like he's going to get more than that. He might get five. He might get eight. But I think he's getting more than $400 million if he prevails at trial. So what would be a good settlement figure? I don't know, man. I think I would start, if I was Lively's team, at $20 million. We'll give you $20 million. This compensates you well, far and above what you were stood to make for the movie. And, you know, we'll issue an apology. We'll say it was a big misunderstanding. And everybody could just kind of move on. Are they ever going to get to that point? I don't know. But if I was her attorney, I would be pressing her to get to that point, because I don't think that it's going to be healthy for her career moving forward to try to litigate this and such a public arena for any longer than we have to. Majo says, the Tilted Lawyer, do you think it is not too late? Too late for what? Too late to settle the case? It's never too late to settle a case. Until a judgment is rendered, it's never too late to settle a case. No, I don't think it's too late. I just think that they want to litigate a little bit. I mean, they're spending millions of dollars a month on this litigation. I'm not speculating, but I'd imagine it's somewhere north of $1 million a month to litigate this thing. Maybe around that number, probably. They want a pound of flesh, and they're going to get it. Yeah, no, I don't think it's too early to too late to settle, Majo. They could settle a trial. They could literally go through a full on trial, and while the jury is deliberating, decide they want to settle the case. They can do that. And so, I don't think they're going to settle right now. But I think that they're going to settle it before March of next year for sure. I would be shocked if this went to trial, to be honest with you. So we'll see. That's where we're at with the live of the case right now. If anything breaks, I'm certain that my friend Lauren Knighty is going to be all over it. I know a lot of you also follow Dave Neal. He's been covering this case like a champ over there as well. And that guy's channel has exploded. He went from like 75,000. Subscribers, I think he's up to 125,000 now, just off the strength of this Lively case. He's the hardest working man in YouTube, And so if you haven't already, go check out some of his content, subscribe to his channel, and some of the others that are doing it. Diane says it.